guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Woo, Messy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people and my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Booking the Territory. Oh, yeah.
This is the one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast, the most unprofessional wrestling podcast on the planet. We're damn proud of it. I'm sitting here tonight. It's myself, Hardbody Harper, Doc Turner. Harper's coming off of a big-time weekend with Wildcat Sports down in New Orleans, and Doc's coming off of nothing because he's just a boring fuck. We are going to be covering NWA WCW from Saturday night on TBS, October the 4th, 1986 this week. No guests, but we got plenty of promos to go through, even though it was a short episode. I got some extra stuff that I'm going to include, a little bit of weird news of the week, a couple of crazy shout-outs, and that's about it. With all that said, Doc, how you doing this week, man?
I'm all right. How are you two football fans doing, dude? Y'all going to go up to Minnesota this weekend and get y'all's asses kicked, huh?
I don't know, man.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's just, God, just think if they win. Fuck.
Yeah, right.
Well, I try not to fucking be like that, like those stupid asses that call it Bobby A, baby. Like, Bobby, they're going to win 35, nothing. Blah, blah, blah. But it's just, it's just hard to like not get caught up in it, just thinking they got to win that one fucking game.
Mike has a theory.
What theory is that?
Well, it's something you and I have talked about, and I'm on board with it, too.
What's that? I don't know. We talk about a lot, dude. I mean,
the Bookers want a rematch. The money's in the rematch. Here comes Matt Ryan out of nowhere.
Oh God.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You better watch out for that.
Yeah, I got a theory, bro. It's gonna be Matt Ryan versus Tom Brady again.
Let's run that back.
They're booking the territory, dude. Anybody who thinks pro football ain't a work is, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm glad my team won Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, evening.
Yeah, but I got
–
hey, guys, everybody out there in BTT lane, I started getting texts during the game. It's like,
no,
man,
you
I'm
didn't
afraid
because my phone
I'm
was
that,
off.
I'm afraid Uncle Roger decided to go put Cam over.
He's full of bullshit. I turn my phone off during the games, man. I generally just, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's like – yeah, because it's pointless. Well, you're looking down at your phone. So, I mean, I'm concentrating on the game.
So I got something here that is classic wrestling related.
Okay.
Because, my damn Google app. Well, basically, no Docaholics did anything worthy of any Docaholic. One did, but I can't
remember.
That's
not true. You want me to tell you what it is?
Ooh.
Which one? What was it?
Well, I'll do this first before the weird news of the week. Unconvinced Ray on Twitter. You said you were going to shout him out for being a Hall of Fame docaholic at this point. But,
that guy?
Brother Dave, yeah, big-time supporter of the show. Loves the shit talking, as he always tells me. He said, if you haven't listened to our Smoky Mountain show this week, this past Sunday, Tracy Smothers almost gets murdered by Tony Anthony, the Dirty White Boy, when Dirty White Boy puts a plastic bag over Smothers' head. And Doc makes mention of the fact that why didn't Smothers just poke his tongue out? Because, you know, he figures his tongue is pretty strong from all the rats he's banging and the snatch he's eating. And why didn't he just do that? And Unconvinced Ray on Twitter said, I know Doxter is a doc, but you can't use your tongue on a Smoky Mountain rat. That's courting some weeping, ulcerative, nasty, drooling mouth leprosy.
Wow.
That's pretty aggressive there. Damn.
Talking about getting down to the free clinic.
Boy, you kidding. So anyway, was that the docaholic thing you were talking about before we get into the episode?
I don't know. I didn't see anything that I like this week. I'm mad at everybody. I decided I was going to try to be more positive this year. And then I started dealing with people like y'all, and I just decided to say, fuck it.
That's nice, Doc. So I did have
Well, hold on. I got a little something, something here that's classic wrestling related, but my damn internet is going so motherfucking slow that I'm going to try to pull it up over here because we had some, it's a David Bixenspan article. And basically,
Bix does good work.
He does. It's over at Deadspin here. And, you know, he's a friend of mine and a docaholic.
You've never met Bix in your life. Neither have, neither have I.
You don't know what I know and who I know. So here in his article, and I've given him credit, so I'm giving him the reference here, but it says on Tuesday at the Global TMT Conference in Las Vegas, WWE CFO George Berrios spoke of the evolution of the network. In particular, just one day after the release of 2 years' worth of early 80s Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling shows, Berrios relayed his fellow executives' shock at how much traditional in-ring wrestling subscribers watched and how that shaped the programming.
You want to translate what you just said?
Basically, the CFO went into a public scenario and said, me and all my rich buddies can't believe how much old wrestling everybody's watching instead of this bullshit we put out today.
I would like to think a lot of people are watching all the classic stuff on the network since they finally have loaded a lot of it. I mean, there's still – the AWA is still not there. I mean, there's still stuff that they need to load, but – there's a lot of shit that's there now that wasn't there a year and a half ago. So yeah.
And can't you just see a bunch of corporate bookers sitting around going, why don't people like In the Car Holy Foley or that's some original content? Or why is SmackDown viewership down? Meanwhile, shows like Conrad shows or our show or the 605 or all these classic wrestling things are just sending the numbers flying off the charts on this classic wrestling.
Yeah, because everybody's going in and watching the old shit. They don't want to see the new stuff.
Yeah.
And here's the other part, Doc and Harper. We got a whole fucking show that we do on Sundays that drops every Sunday night with Smoky Mountain, and they still ain't got that shit loaded up. And I see the numbers. I ain't going to say what they are, but
boy,
there's a lot of fucking people watching the Smoky Mountain stuff on YouTube that listen to our show. Oh, it's not on YouTube. That's right.
It's in a secret location. It's in a deep secret in a location. Vault. It's in a vault deep in the Smoky Mountains. We're using one of the coal mines since those aren't in use anymore.
Two more things before we get into this week's episode of Saturday Night. Weird news of the week. I thought of this because I saw a post on the Mothership Facebook page about strippers and weird stripper stories. And so someone posted on the Mothership page about that, and I forget who started the thread. It may have been longtime listener Travis Rains. I can't remember. And
I think that's the guy I was supposed to shout out, wasn't it?
That probably was who you're supposed to shout out because he gave you some credit. Well, he gave you some props this week.
There you go. Shout out, son. There you go. Docaholics, unite.
So someone on the Mothership posted about weird stripper stories a few weeks back, and I had one that I wanted to share. And it's a real quick one. It's going to take me 30 seconds. Bruh. I was in a strip club in New Orleans one time, and this broad was dancing on the bar, and this broad lit up a Black & Mild cigar, fucking put it in her snatch, the tip of it, drew back on that sumbitch, and exhaled out of her cooch. Smoke came out that motherfucker.
And
the only thing I could think when she was smoking that Black & Mild, her fucking cooch was, can you get fucking cancer from smoking a cigar with your cooch?
I got vagina cancer.
Yeah, like you know how you can get lung cancer if you smoke too much?
Did your pussy smoke a day?
Right. What do you want to know, Doc?
How old are you?
42.
Cooch. Really?
I'm trying to keep it classy. I mean, well, I could have said pussy, but I mean, you know. Anyway.
I think we've crossed that threshold a few minutes ago. So.
We sure did. Let's keep going. New patron shout out.
You want to tease your next installment of Mike's stripper stories?
No. Not a chance. Say it. I don't know what he's talking about. He's gone rogue again. I don't know. What are you talking about, Doc?
I want to hear it.
Yeah, Monday Night Football, dude.
Oh, that's an. I'll tell that next week. That's not even okay. Funny. No,
but it's worth hearing.
Patron shout outs. New patron, Charles J. Morris. Thanks, and I appreciate you becoming a patron. Hey, do me a favor. If you're on Twitter, send me your Twitter at or your Facebook page, and I'll make sure to shout you out there as well on next week's show. And I'll direct everybody that's a member of the hashtag BTT Army to follow you on Twitter. And then I want to thank Samson J as well for upping his patron amount. I appreciate that, Samson J. Thank you very much. I hope you're enjoying the shows. Now, we should get into this thing. And first off, I do want to remind everyone as we're getting into the Saturday night this week, I post this portion of the show early, usually the night that we record. I'll clip the bit of our Saturday night show and I post it on the YouTube channel. So if you're up late at night on Wednesday nights, for example, we're recording this on January the 10th, 2018. If you're up late at night, go to the YouTube channel, tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. And generally, it's usually there by about 10 or 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's, again, it's just a portion of the Saturday night episode. It's not the full episode. So if we have a promo of the week and the opening and all that, that's not there. But the Saturday night portion of the episode is usually up on the YouTube channel. I just clip it, throw it up there real quick, and you can enjoy it. You can enjoy that a day early. Let's look at it like that.
What do these people have in their lives that make them go to bed early at night?
I know, huh? They ain't got shit to do.
Shit, I go to bed early every night. I don't.
You have a job. You have kids. These people have Cheetos to eat.
Fuck you. Stop talking That's about our nice. Great listeners. I know. Let's get into it. So it's NWA WCW, October the 4th, 1986. We're always sponsored by the Wrestling Palace. Thank you, Arturo, for all you do. And we're sponsored by you, the listener. So make sure you go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron and become a patron and help us support the show. Again, as little as $2 a month, you can be a patron and get access to those patron-only episodes, although we are behind on that right now. We're going to talk about that later. We need to get that scheduled.
Hey, pal. I've been sitting here long enough that I figured out what I was supposed to do a few minutes ago. Let's crank up the music for Doc's Spotlight of the Week.
Okay.
Docaholics. The Docaholic of the Week is that dude that you were talking about earlier.
Hopper, we're 10 minutes in, and it just fucking hit him.
Right. Well, you know. New year, new me. He made Badussi license plates.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And so this, what's his name?
Travis Reigns.
Right. He made, like, from Alabama, it was like, Badussi fell from the stars. Or, you know, like the Show Me State or whatever their state motto is.
Right.
So he had state license plates with Badussi on it, and it popped me. So you get the spotlight this week. Good job. Valuable contribution. What was the other state that was funny?
I can't remember, but it was...
God, this is going great.
I sent it to you. You were supposed to look it up, asshole.
Worst Doc spotlight ever, and I really do blame you for that, because you were supposed to remind me.
Okay, that's classy. Let's get into the show. Here it is. I'm going to play the opening, because we usually don't play the music, and this is, I know this is Brian Lass's theme song on the 605, but you know what? We never do this, so let's give it a listen, because it gives me chills every time I hear this.
Championship Wrestling, bringing you great wrestling action, sanctioned by the NWA, National Wrestling Alliance.
That always gives me the chills. Sanctioned by the National Wrestling Alliance.
I've always wondered why they got to use the fucking Transformer sound effects.
I mean, they could
pick up their own shit. The little
lasers in the background?
Yeah, that's from Transformers.
That's not...
I guarantee you, I'm going to send it to you. When the Decepticons would shoot the lasers, that's the sound effects.
All right, Hoffer. Only you. I'm glad you know that. All right. I wasn't a Transformers fan, but I'll take your word on it. So we get into this week's show. It kicks off with a promo from Arn and Ole. Let's give that a listen. It's at the very top of it. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to World Championship Wrestling. David Crockett and Tony Schiavone. Tony, we've got them here, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
And you know when the Minnesota Wrecking Crew's around, they're looking for the World Tag Team title. And we're with Ole and Arn Anderson right now.
Tony Schiavone, when I first became associated with my partner, The Rock, a lot of people said, maybe this guy's a little too young, he's unproven. Maybe when he comes out here on national television and he flaps his yap, maybe we should just take it with a grain of salt. But as you can see over the past couple of years, when I tell you something, my friend, it's going to happen. It comes from being raised around The Rock, Gene Anderson, Ric Flair, my cousin. You see, the Four Horsemen is not just an idea. It's a theme, it's a theory, it's a state of being, it's a state of mind. In order to qualify as one of the Four Horsemen, you got to be able to back up what you say. It's just like this individual standing in the ring. On one particular night, I told Magnum T.A., don't get caught alone, Magnum. Everybody went, give me this right here. You know what I'm saying? Well, Magnum knows exactly what happened to him. You take the hit list. Sam Houston, Magnum T.A., Dusty Rhodes, Rock and Roll Express, Ronnie Garvin. What happened to them all when I made a threat? It all came true. Well, Rhodes, The Rock made a threat. He said, 86, you're out of here. Well, Rhodes, it's just like telling you an ant can pull a freight train. Hook it up. And Rock and Roll, when we tell you we're coming after the world tag titles, that the Minnesota Wrecking Crew are by far the finest wrestling machine on the face of the earth. You better believe it, because I told you so.
Ole and Arn Anderson, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, on the program today. Jim Horner, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
What?
Many other top stars in the world of wrestling.
What?
Let's go to the ring right now.
That's why I let it play.
What the fuck, man?
He's encroaching on all of our lives. He got in a time machine and went back to 86 to fuck with us.
He's going to show up to your work tomorrow.
No shit. He's a time-traveling hillbilly.
Here's a scary part about that. When we first started doing Smoky Mountain, I didn't remember Tim Horner from Crockett. Like, I don't remember Tim. Like, so I'm trying to figure out.
And now you can never forget.
And well, I'm trying to figure out if in my mind I just was like, fuck this, I don't want to remember it, he wasn't important, or if it was just like, you know, one of them things where you're kind of young and everything's going on around you. And by this point, I'm, you know, 11 years old. I'm wondering, like, am I just worried about the big stars and just not paying attention to the little ones? I don't know, but I don't remember Horner. You can go back and listen to the first few episodes.
And let's talk about Arn Anderson, because goddamn.
I know, yeah, huh?
Go ahead, Doc. What you got from it?
Well, I mean, that's the first time we've heard on the Saturday night program that whole, it's a state of mind to be a horseman. And he starts talking about the hit list and you up there in the ring. We told you we was going to get you. We told you not to be alone.
Well, and then he talks about how he's preaching the gospel again. He ain't going to lie.
Well, again, here's the thing. They messed up. They messed up Dusty. We forget they messed up Ron Garvin's hand. Sam Houston got hurt along the way. Man, they've left a path of destruction.
Bro, Harper, the Horsemen did some shit that would have landed them in jail.
Bro, yeah.
They should be in jail.
When they handcuffed Dusty to the fucking work truck.
Hey, white people don't go to jail, pal.
Oh. Thanks, Doc. Okay. Harper, what did you have from this?
I was watching this and thinking, I would love to be there if someone would ask Arn Anderson if a wrestling was fake back then, just to see what the hell he would do to him.
Well, hit it before he said a word, Ole would have hit him.
Yeah.
I was thinking along that lines, if Arn AA walked out to the crowd and said, all right, give me your money. Come on. Give me your money to the fans. How many of them would have just started, just without a gun, without a weapon, robbed that studio audience of their cash?
Yes. Yeah. Probably right.
But that's my – no, give it here. Okay.
No resistance.
No.
Anything else, Harper?
It's just – that promo makes the guy that wondering if it's fake right there. He's like, nah, man, this shit's real.
They say this it all the time. Real. That other shit's fake, but he was real.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jimmy Fallon's fake, but this guy's this guy's fucking real.
What?
I don't know if they would say that about Boogie. They probably would be like, he's high. I don't know if they say he's fake. Like, yeah, there's a difference. They'd be like, that motherfucker's high. He on some shit. He on that shit.
Look at him. Look at it. That smart man get away with all that cheating.
Right. Okay, so after Arn and Ole, well, Ole doesn't talk. After Arn, there's a match between Magnum TA and Vernon Deaton. Magnum wins. Doc, what did you get? Like, what, 15 seconds on that one?
You're not far off from lockup.
Yes.
From lockup to the three count, counting the three, all 3 seconds, it was 18 seconds.
Damn.
Alford, did you have anything?
I guess that's an easy fucking payday.
Well, this is either his last or next to last match, I would think.
Oh, fuck.
That's right.
Saturday night.
Yeah,
God
we're on the precipice of it.
I want to get into a fucking DeLorean and just go like, Magnum.
Don't do it.
Don't, bro.
Here's the thing. The story is that he really wasn't even speeding and he wasn't drunk. Talk about bad luck. Shit, if I'm going to get paralyzed, I might as well have been drunk. Fuck it.
Well, what Harper's saying is he should go back and tell him, just don't get in the Corvette that day.
Yeah.
Why is Magnum going to listen to some guy he's never met before not get in his car? If somebody you never met before showed up and said, don't do it.
What if I was the guy from Quantum Leap?
Right.
And I got to get back in time.
Sure thing, kind stranger. I'll take the bus.
Right, think about that. Somebody, you about to get in your car, and somebody just shows up and like, hey, I'm from the future. Don't get in your car today because you're going to die if you do so. I've seen it in the future. I would be like, if you don't get the fuck out of my face, you stupid, crazy son of a bitch. So, yeah, the DeLorean would be nice. The only problem is, would he really listen? And let's keep going. All right.
You don't understand. This guy, Eric Bischoff, is going to come in and ruin wrestling.
Next promo is Paul Jones and Baron Von Raschke. What are we thinking on this one? Are we playing it or what?
I mean, fuck. Nah.
let me give the listeners a snippet of it. Here it is.
And we're back with Paul Jones, a member of the Army, Baron Von Raschke.
You know, everybody said, I bet Paul Jones is down because Manny Fernandez hadn't accepted the money. Well, I'm never down because I know that Manny Fernandez is not an idiot. And I know something else. Everybody's asking me, says, how in the world did you get Rick Rude to come here? Well, let me tell you something. A lot of people have tried, but a lot of people are not number one, Paul Jones.
Let me tell you something else.
He gets
Everybody's
lost.
Everybody's trying to cause destruction within the Army.
Well, the Army is like this, and they're going to stay like this. I'm so proud of my men, and my men are proud of me. And here's an example right here. Here's a man that would do anything for number one, Paul Jones.
This is Ricky. The Army is a united front. We fit together like the cogs of a fine watch, and all the pieces fit to work perfectly under the leadership of Herr Paul Jones, a genius manager, glorious victory after victory. He is leading us to united on all fronts. And I tell you this, Paul Jones has promised me a chance at the title, the world television title from Dusty Rhodes. And that's exactly, and I know it's true because you promised it, that's exactly what is going to happen. Make no mistake, Herr Dusty Rhodes. We're coming, and we're going to take your world TV title. And that all the people need to know.
Paul Jones?
All right, so I did let it play. Doc, what'd you think?
Not much.
Yeah.
Okay.
He sounds like a cartoon character.
Well, that's exactly what he is.
They need something. I mean,
they got Shaska.
Well, that's the That's the real problem with this group. They're not real entertaining unless they're shocking the world, and that's real hard to do over and over and over again. Now, you've got something interesting here because Rick Rude's coming in, so I'm interested in seeing that. What I just saw on the screen,
What are you talking about? Last week, fucking Shaska was out there spitting on somebody, talking about.
But he wasn't there today.
Whooping my hillbilly.
That's different. I like that.
Okay. Well, you
but
can't
I don't,
say
but I didn't. But I didn't like this.
Okay. Hopper, anything from you?
Wait. Did you like this?
It was all right. I mean, it was funny. I laughed the first time I saw it.
Yeah. It's just he sounds like a villain. Like he should be with Skeletor.
Right. Yeah.
He-Man.
Yeah. You know what he reminds me of right here? And I hate to say it, but some WWF bullshit cartoon.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that about Baron because I don't think he was a cartoon character just in general. But at this stage, that's what it reminds me of. Some cartoon shit from WWF. So, okay. We'll keep going. So right after that, Boogie comes out and Boogie's high right here, bro.
Willie, Willie!
Willie, Willie! Let's listen to Boogie.
Okay, fans, World Championship Wrestling continues as we bring in none other than Jimmy the Boogie, Boogeyman Valiant.
You know, Tony Schiavone, I could come out here and talk about shaving Paul Jones' hairdo, but I'm not. I could come out here and talk about my blood, Willie, Willie, the Raging Bull, going over to Paul Jones' side. But I'm not. What I'm going to do today is tell the people a funny story.
Okay.
A true funny story that happened last week. Last week I was in Missouri. It was sold out, Jack. The joint was sold out.
All right, I got to stop it for a second. Everybody, I want y'all to listen to this shit that he's about
now,
to say.
Now, hold on a second, because we're going to get lost here, and I want to come back to something. Paul Jones says that Manny Fernandez hasn't accepted the money. Did Boogie just say he did?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're... This shit airs weird. Manny does accept the money, either on the October 4th Worldwide or the October 11th Worldwide. I can't remember which one it is. But Manny does accept the money.
Way to go, spoiler alert.
Well, no, I mean, he says it right here. Go ahead, Hopper. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I mean, Manny wrestles in this episode. He's just, you know, it's
he's
just Manny. It.
He's on the babyface side of the ring.
Right.
So, well, it's coming. It's
well,
weird how they
lot,
do say this.
Spoilers.
I'm not spoiling shit. I'm just telling you what's about to happen because it's not on here. Or what happens, dumbass? Mm. All right. Now, I want everybody to focus on Boogie at this point. Listen to this shit that he's about to say.
When I got in the ring, I looked around, and I see way up high, up there in the balcony, I spotted her. Who was it, you think?
I don't know. Who was it?
Who? Oh, come on, Daddy. Get real, baby. It was. You know who it was? Miss Dolly Parton's. Dolly Parton was up there, baby. And I says, man, I'm going to have to bring her back down here close to the Boogie Woogie Man. She came to see the Boogie Man. So what I did, I knocked my dude out, my opponent out cold, and I went upstairs, and I went in the balcony. And Tony, it was the damnedest thing I ever seen. It wasn't Dolly Parton's. You know who it was?
Who was it, Jimmy?
It was two bald-headed men sitting real close together. Yeah.
Let's go to the ring.
What the fuck?
I thought it was his best promo since.
Yeah, for real, huh?
Taz turned on him. I knew what he meant.
I did too, but I'm never gonna mistake two bald-headed dudes for Dolly Parton back then.
Do you even know who Dolly Parton is?
Yeah, she was you know, one of them single broads with some big old fun bags.
Working 9 to 5, way to make a living.
Right, there you go.
Fun bags.
boobies, titties. What do you want?
Boobies.
Tits.
Boobies and coochie. What do you?
Whatever. Okay. So, Doc, what's your expert analysis on Boogie's promo right there? The friend of the show now, Boogie.
Right. I thought it was great. Right.
Excellent.
I enjoyed it. Come on, you didn't laugh.
Oh, I laughed. I laughed my ass off.
Right. It was funny.
Yeah. Good stuff. Harper, what about you?
What's the problem?
I didn't expect it.
Did he surprise you when you were watching it?
Yeah, and then it's like, I guess he figured I'm going to go out there and be like, you know, I got nothing to talk about. Hey, fuck it. I'm going to drop a Dolly Parton joke.
Why not?
Yeah, fuck it. Make it it's happen. Only half an hour. Yeah.
Right. So after that match is Manny Fernandez versus Mike Samani. Manny wins with a flying burrito. Not much there. And then we roll into a Bill Dundee and Buddy Landell promo.
What's up, Daddy?
Let's give these two a listen. I don't think we heard from them last week, so let's hear what they have to say.
Big win for the Raging Bull here with superstar Bill Dundee, the Nature Boy, Buddy Landell.
Hey, Tony Schiavone, let me ask y'all a question. Let me ask all you Yanks out there a question. What is the hottest movie playing in the U.S. of A today? What is it, Tony Schiavone? I'll tell you what it is. It's Crocodile Dundee, Daddy, made after my uncle in the Outback on Australia. You think I'm lying? You pick up any newspaper, and they'll be talking about Crocodile Dundee. And that's my family, Daddy. We're the meanest men in Australia, and little Willie come to the USA. And you know what I'm going to take all the wrath out on? Michael Sam Houston, if you think what you started with this man, the real Nature Boy, is going to go unsaid, Daddy, you are wrong. So, Sam Houston, you will better listen to what I'm saying. You will better eat, sleep, and breathe wrestling and learn all you know about it. Because when this guy gets you, the one and only Nature Boy, he's taking you out, punk, and we don't care where it is. Thrill all the girls, Budro. Talk to them.
Hey, you know what, Tony Schiavone? I don't care where the superstar and the Nature Boy go, baby. We get millions of letters wanting to know, superstar Nature Boy, when are y'all going to come to our town? And in other words, you want to know why the Nature Boy's back in town? Because I got sick and tired when I took some time off for an attitude adjustment. I got sick and tired of going to my mailbox and the mailman pulling up and I had to take a wheelbarrow and go back to the house with it. The millions of letters want to know when the real Nature Boy coming back on the scene. I'm back, baby, and that's all I got to say.
That's right. So, Tony Schiavone, just like I said, Daddy, if you don't believe me, they're talking all about the Dundees all over the world. Thank you.
Man, let's go back to the ring.
Okay. Harper, you got anything from that?
Why does he call him Boudreaux?
I don't know, but he's been doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, his name's Buddy. Maybe it's well, Boudreaux's not really a short version,
no.
But I don't know. I couldn't tell you. Doc, you got? Can you shine any light on that?
No.
Okay.
But I can tell you what a wretched, disgusting, terrible decade the 80s were outside of wrestling.
When right.
Crocodile Dundee was a cultural phenomenon.
Bro, that shit
was the best movie ever.
That shit was big.
And it was fucking stupid.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't dumb. I mean, it was a kid movie more than anything.
He shaves his face with the knife.
Right. it was dumb. I mean, if you go back and watch it now, it was dumb, but yeah. You know. It was alright.
I remember seeing that at the Dallas show.
That's about what it was worth to see. Doc, is that all you got from it?
Well, I'm interested in what Buddy Landell did to Sam Houston, but I have a feeling that happened in Kansas City with Sam Houston and his rock collection.
You mean his Lucky Rock?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, while him and Todd Champion were spreading their seed throughout the Central States area.
Oh, yeah. Fucking them bitches.
Yeah. Wow. It was, I bet you didn't ask Sam about it. Was Sam at the show Saturday night?
Uh-uh.
Okay. He wasn't there?
Maybe he went back to Kansas City.
Maybe so.
Maybe he went back to Kansas City to bang one out. Okay, so after Dundee and Landell is Tim Horner versus Randy Mulkey.
Okay,
Tim
so
Horner.
Hold on. We have people, even though I don't believe you, but you tell me we have people that listen to this show but don't listen to the Smoky Mountain show. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's just
so
Smoky Mountain.
So do you need to... you need to talk to these people and explain to them what is getting ready to be an irrational set of hatred directed at a mid-card babyface.
Oh, you mean from our view of him in Smoky Mountain? Because I don't think Tim had the same. It's just Tim's hillbilly act in Smoky Mountain is just comical at best. And he's a good wrestler. He's a real good wrestler, actually. But he's gotten quite too much promo time in Smoky Mountain. And we've laughed at him for the last year and a half, is the best way to put it. Right, Hopper?
I would say so. He's like comical when he's not supposed to be comical.
Right. You laugh at him nonstop.
So let me do this, because we like to put grades on things and grade things and put scores. How would you two wrestling aficionados rate Tim Horner's in-ring skills on the A to F ratio?
Oh, he's an A.
Yeah, I mean.
I'd say he's a B plus.
No, he's
a good wrestler.
He's a doc. Tim is really good in the ring. He knows what he's doing. He bumps well. He knows every hold. He knows all the moves. I mean, he's not gonna fucking go out there like these dudes nowadays and flip and dive and all this other shit that people.
Nobody's asking for that anyway.
Right.
So.
That's what I'm saying. But if you rate him for the time period that he wrestled in, he's a wrestler. He's damn good. Okay. Just keep the microphone away from him.
How would you rate his promo skills?
They don't make an F rating low enough.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help the people that don't listen to Smoky Mountain understand our inside jokes.
And do you notice how small the mullet is in this? It's like a little baby. It's a tadpole.
Maybe it was longer, but he got there and Morton was like, look, pal. There's only room for one blonde mullet in this.
Yeah, because in Smoky Mountain, there are moments when that fucking mullet is fluffy.
Yeah.
It's fluffy. So, all right. So, here's the thing. Tim Horner, he's basically entered another promotion of ours that we're reviewing. And let's have some fun and see how it goes. You know, I know here.
Infiltrated.
I know it's a new year. It's January 2018. So let's give Tim a chance. I mean, we already talked about how good of a wrestler he was, but whatever. So, you know, new year, new me. Not really. But I'll tell you this much. Horner does win with the natural bridge, and it's not as bad as I remember it is in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. It's looked a little smoother. I will say that. I rate him an A wrestler, but that natural bridge just looks bad in Smoky Mountain. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, Hopper, any thoughts from the match?
Yeah, I was curious how the what his finish was, and I was like, oh, well, I guess he was doing it back then, too.
Yep. Yes, sir. Doc, anything else from you?
Well, I'm going to say something positive, too. I liked his power slam right before the Natural Bridge, and I thought that should be his finisher instead of the Natural Bridge.
Once again, he's a good wrestler. He's a very good wrestler. It's his promos that if you listen to the Smoky Mountain show, you'll know we're not going crazy. Anyway, yeah, that's that. Okay, so speaking of Tim Horner on promos, first off, I need to throw it to Robert Gibson here after that match. Here's Robert Gibson, and he's not.
How would you like it if Robert Gibson's like, I'll go out there and introduce you? And he'd be like, how will I know when to come out?
That's so fucking wrong. Oh, Robert.
But here's the thing. I recently heard Gibson on Ricky Morton's podcast, and I could understand what he was saying. I was like, shit, somewhere along the way, he stopped trying to eat crackers with a dry mouth. Good for him.
You give him a hard time for no reason. Let's listen to what Gibson has to say right here.
World Championship Wrestling continues, and let's bring in Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express.
Hey, Tony, you know the Andersons are hot on the Rock and Roll Express's trail because we are the NWA World Tag Team Champions. But what they want, Tony, they want to take these titles away from Rock and Roll Express. But let me tell you something, Ole and Arn Anderson, it's been a long, hard road for Rock and Roll Express. We plan on keeping these titles for a long, long time. So, guys, come out and take your best shot, baby, because we are, like I said, the new NWA World Tag Team Champions. You know, Tony, I'd like to bring in a good friend of mine, Tim Horner. Come here, Tim.
Okay, Jim Horner, White Lightning, good to see you back at World Championship Wrestling.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, it's a pleasure to be back on the Superstation. It's a pleasure to be with Jim Crockett Promotions, the number one wrestling organization in the world. And I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, Jim Horner with us right here on World Championship Wrestling. Let's go to the ring.
Short and sweet was good. Hey, by the way, before y'all react to the promo, those NWA tag titles, the one that Gibson has right there, when I always talk about my favorites, those are one of my favorite belts of all time. I love those tag belts.
Now I know what not to get you for Christmas.
That's great.
That's how you effectively use Tim Horner on the mic. And that's where we make fun of Smoky Mountain, is he's involved in angles and trying to get heat with a microphone. So in that case, you got to say that's optimal Horner promoing, because you don't give him time to start getting tripped up on words. He could just play the aw shucks, white meat baby face, and get out of there.
Yeah, I'll try to locate the promo that I have of him, and I'll play it later from last week's Worldwide that I played for you off air, Doc. That you were like, oh God, he's lost. He just got lost. Harper, your thoughts on Horner and Gibson right there? Anything?
Short and sweet, man. Fuck.
Yeah, I like it. Get in, get out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gibson comes out. He's got the new belt with him. You know, says a couple things about the title and being tag champ because Ricky's not there. Horner comes in. Just to let y'all know, so that right there was 47 seconds between the two of them. Like, you can't get no quicker than that.
A second longer would have been too long.
Mm-hmm. Yep. After that match, or after that promo, the next match is Tully, Ole, Arn versus Kernodle, Bill Tab, and Freeman. Ole and Arn, Tully win, obviously. Double gourd buster of sorts with Ole and Tully combining the move at the end. Doc, do you have anything from that one?
I do. This was awesome. So, what's the one thing that the horsemen come out and say week in and week out? We're measured by these. These are our belts, and this is how you know who the haves are and who the have-nots are. Would y'all agree with that statement?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So during the match, JJ comes over to do color, and he's philosophizing, and he says, well, titles aren't a true measure of where everyone's at.
It was awesome. That's how you do it, though, right, Harper? When you're a heel, yes. You make excuses.
If you believe it, it's true.
That's what made an old Southern wrestling heel so good, though. It's like, it matters, and then when it's convenient for you, it doesn't matter.
That's otherwise known as Booker logic, but I'll leave that alone.
Booker logic. No shit on that one. You're so right. Okay, so Harper, do you have anything from the match?
No.
All right.
Poor old Bill Tab. I thought Bill Tab would have gotten shit in, but he didn't.
Nothing. They just took that ass whipping and kept it rolling.
What are the odds that one of those three horsemen called him boy at some point during the match?
Oh, come on, Doc.
Probably fucking Ole.
See? That's what I was thinking, too.
I've never met the man, but Ole was such a curmudgeon, probably so.
Come here, boy.
Right. All right, so we go from that to Dusty Rhodes. Let's listen to what Dusty Rhodes has to say now.
Okay, fans, glad to have you back with us right now on World Championship Wrestling. None other than the world TV champion, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Tony, you know, going around the world, traveling around, defending the world's television champion throughout this country and ever native land and everything is a big chore for Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. World's heavyweight wrestling champion, different occasions. World's tag team champion, different occasions. And once again, world's television champion. So let's get right down to business, Ole Anderson. The four horsemen, if you will, know one thing is 86, you're going to take me out. I'm going to take you out. We know the pain, blues, and agony that goes down between us two. And don't you be part of me, sucker. Who you calling sucker? You know, right here, two prime examples. Paul Jones, Bear Von Reske, and Pistol Pez Watney. If they want some of it, they can come and get it, baby. Who you calling sucker?
Okay, let's go to the ring.
Harper, I'll throw it to you first.
Come on, Dusty.
That's all you got?
I just, it's very plain Jane promo from Dusty.
You notice, Harper, how when the performers don't put a lot into it, we're like, well, what do you want us to do? Mike gets mad at us like it's our fucking fault.
Yeah, it's this whole episode is like this.
Lackluster.
Yeah, I guess they figured, you know, hey, it's only half an hour, fuck it.
I got a theory on that. It wasn't a half hour. I have a feeling things, there's no way that shit was half an hour. The Braves were wrapping up. They've chopped this thing down on the network.
Oh, you think so?
Well, we'll find out from superstar Tim Moreci at some point if he'll ever decide to answer his email. But hey, that's my thought. I'll go. Yeah. I'm on everybody tonight. I'm this lackluster nonsense, and now you're attacking Harper. I don't like.
I didn't attack nobody. I didn't say nothing about it.
So that's all you got on this?
Yeah.
Okay, bitch. Doc. What do you have on it?
Nothing. No, I like the fact that he's talking shit off camera. I think that's good. But
let me tell you what I thought at first.
I thought he was going after a fan that was yelling at Ryan Ruth.
Me too. I was like, oh shit, what the hell? Who's? Because, I mean, we've already seen Dusty tell somebody to sit their fat ass down. He's going to get them kicked out if they don't shut the fuck up. Right. So I'm thinking he's just attacking somebody else now. And I'm like, oh, he's yelling at Shaska. Which then I'm waiting for him to really say something derogatory. Just anything, like, you know, just say something stupid, whatever. It's wrestling. I mean, I want to hear something stupid. That's what makes it wrestling. But anyway, no, it was plain Jane. I'm going to agree with Hopper. Dumbass. Yes. See, there you go, Doc. Fuck you.
Fuck me.
The next match is Baron Von Raske and Shaska versus Bill Mulkey and Lee Peek. Shaska hits a nice suplex off the second rope corner for the win. His team wins. Doc, anything from the match?
No.
Yeah, me either. Hopper, you?
No.
Y'all are like, this shit.
I was like, man, I bet if I fast forward, I could knock this thing down to 28 minutes instead of 32.
Let's listen to Jim Cornette. He's up next.
And we are back with you now on World Championship Wrestling, and here is Jim Cornette. What's up?
I just tore this off the CNN Newswire, Dateline Chicago. Road Warrior Hawk was arrested today for stealing a woman's purse in a suburb of Chicago. Road Warrior Animal was picked up for selling pencils on a street corner without a license. And Precious Paul Ellery was severely injured being hit by a rainbow bread truck while he was in an unemployment line. And that's the Road Warriors. And you know what destroyed them? The Midnight Express. And you know what we did when we did that? We proved that you don't have to be big to be bad. Because you see, the Midnight Express, like I've said before, the perfect ingredients to make a successful tag team. And one of those is that the Midnight Express flies higher than any tag team in professional wrestling. When Beautiful Bobby comes off those top ropes, when Loverboy Dennis is doing those flying suplexes, those clotheslines, all those moves, the fact of the matter is, when these men come off the ropes, when these men are flying around the ring, they don't have to be big to be bad, because they strike like lightning. And lightning, by the way, is going to strike you, Rock and Roll Express, because like I've said before, those are our world tag team belts. You're a couple of punks, a couple of snotty-nosed punks at that. I think you're still wet behind the ears. I think I could whip you myself. But I'm going to let my boys do it, and I'm going to let them prove who the real tag team champions of the world are. Lightning's going to strike you, Rock and Roll Express. Maybe, just maybe when you least expect it. But it's going to come down on you, and that's going to be it for you as world tag team champions. And then nobody's going to be screaming rock and roll anymore. Nobody's going to be screaming for you anymore, Punky Morton, or you, Hoot Gibson, because these men are going to replace you, and they're going to dominate tag team wrestling forever and a day. Loverboy Dennis and Beautiful Bobby, the men.
The 80s porn music is there. He called them Punky Morton and Hoot Gibson.
Was that okay to do then?
I guess so. It happened.
Yeah.
Doc, do you have anything from that?
Well, he sure is talking about flying and being high up in the air. I wonder what could happen. I wonder what that means.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to regret that shit. Second of all, I love it when he's specific in promos. When he talks about the rainbow truck, you see a truck in your mind. It's like we said this back in the Smoky Mountains a few weeks ago when old Smedley made his debut. And he was like, I was talking to little redhead freckle-faced kid. That attention to detail makes you picture it in your mind. He could have just said the bread truck, but that doesn't do much for me. He said the rainbow bread truck. I was like, oh, I know what that looks like. Good stuff. Attention to detail. It's good. Good for you.
Yeah. Harper, what you got?
this was probably the best part of this whole show.
Shut up.
It sure was.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Sure was. Well, he said probably. He didn't say definitely.
We'll settle that in the Rolex department.
Yeah, we'll settle that in Rolex. But I like, you know, because he's talking about Animal being arrested for selling pencils without a license.
Who the fuck sells pencils?
Without a license.
Yeah.
Without a license. Like, what? I heard that and my ears went up. I was like, what did he just say? Yeah, that was...
So
that
you
was
picture a, him, like, in his gear, right, his shoulder pads, be like, hey, you need some number twos?
Right, man, which is what Doc y'all was remember, talking about.
Y'all remember back in the day, the football NFL teams on the...
Oh, Olympics? My God!
That was the greatest thing in my life for about a year straight.
Dude, that shit was like currency when I was a kid.
Man, no matter how much I tried or how much money I put in those motherfucking machines, I could not get a Buffalo Bills out to save my life.
God, the things that are important when you're that old.
God, those were the greatest things ever.
I guarantee if I passed by one of those machines tomorrow and I actually had cash on me or currency, which I don't, I'd put a quarter in there and see what two teams I pulled out. For real. In a second.
And you didn't sharpen them, because if you sharpen them...
No! You can't sharpen them.
Yeah.
Just saved it.
I remember walking out my dad one time. He was sharpening. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? I needed a pencil to write with. Well, these aren't for writing. He looked all confused and shit.
He was confused. Hey, did y'all have like family members? Yeah, I have family members like this that, you know, like they had a sofa in their house and, you know, it wasn't for sitting though, it had plastic over it.
No. Yes. I'm white. No.
I'm sorry, but I had family like that. It's like, what's the fucking point of having it if you can't sit on it? It is decoration? That's some bullshit. I mean, like that shit used to get on my nerves, man. You walk into a house, it's got this fucking plastic over it. Well, what's the point of that? Anyway, Harper. See, Harper said he had somebody like that.
Yeah, I that may not be a race thing. That might just be a poor people thing.
That's nice.
There you
broke
go.
Broke ass.
Okay, so you heard Corny announce the Midnight Express. They wrestled Keith Patterson and Randy Barber. Might be Patterson's debut on Saturday night.
I thought so, too. I was going to ask him that.
I think so. Very nice jackets that the Midnights had on. We've seen those before. Midnights win with the rocket launcher. Harper, anything from the match?
No. They just beat the shit out of them.
Pretty much. I think Doc's got the same thing. Now, with that said, let's go to Ric Flair, because here he is.
And we're at the heavyweight champion of the world, Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Let me assure everybody out there that follows professional wrestling what you just witnessed. You won't see anywhere else but in the National Wrestling Alliance, because guys like Eaton and Condry don't grow on trees. They are world champions. Woo! And whether I like to admit it or not, there's a lot of great athletes. And I'm throwing Dusty Rhodes' name in the hat. I'm throwing Magnum's, Murdoch, Garvin, Wahoo, the Road Warriors, all guys I don't like. I don't like the rock and roll especially. But you know what? They represent the National Wrestling Alliance. And I just happen to be the world's heavyweight wrestling champion. So as I've told you before, let's put it like this. If the National Wrestling Alliance is worth $3 billion and Jim Crockett is worth $1 billion himself, not to mention his brothers and the family and the corporation, then Ric Flair, who is the world champion, has got to be worth a bundle himself. And the bottom line is, if you work in the National Wrestling Alliance, you drive nice cars, you live in big houses, woo, and you style and profile. Now, let's separate the men from the boys. Some of us style and profile in $1,000 suits, $1,000 shoes, big Rolex watches, and some of us have bigger cars than others. But the bottom line is, once again, to be part of the National Wrestling Alliance, you gotta be a dude. To wrestle Ric Flair, you gotta be a dude. And I'm gonna be in Baltimore, Greensboro, Greenville, South Carolina, and I'm gonna show y'all something I take a great deal of pride in doing. Woo! And that's why I'm the greatest wrestler alive today. Woo! You got it, boys. Take it for granted, and you're going to get hurt real bad.
The world champion, Ric Flair, fans, we are coming right back.
Doc, go first.
Anybody else trust the Nature Boy's company valuations that he was throwing down?
Yes and no, but go
$3 billion, $3 billion.
No.
I mean, in that time frame, I was trusting it. I don't know about now, but yeah.
Absolutely. I was like, man, this is some Natureomics right here, man.
Natureomics.
This is because you know how he is with money. I was like, damn. Also, what I thought was interesting was the timing of this episode and this promo, because just a couple of weeks ago or last week, Cornette was talking about either on the experience or the drive through Crockett and how they overextended themselves. And Corny actually talks about the fact that everybody had a Mercedes-Benz. Everybody had this car. And he's like, I finally went out and got one that wasn't as big as theirs, but whatever. But whenever I had to cut promos, I'd just go stand next to one of their cars. So Rick was out there shooting, telling the truth on, you know, on how they're living. So, and I always love it. It adds legitimacy to what they say when he's like, look, I don't have to like the Rock and Roll, but I got to respect them. They're the champs.
Harper, what'd you think?
He fucking puts over the promotion the whole time. And fucking Doc said it. He's trying to convince the people that they have the best wrestlers ever on their promotion and not the WWE.
Yeah, he doesn't say that, but you're right.
Right. I mean, that's what he's trying to say.
If it had been Bill Watts, Bill Watts would have been like, here's a 10-point plan of why we're better than Vince McMahon.
That's not – Watts didn't do that, but Watts flat out would say it. Like, he'd be like, we're
– This isn't the cartoon stuff you'll see out of New York.
Yeah, he's not that – this isn't that WWF stuff. This isn't that stuff that Vince McMahon's doing. Like, he would just take shots at him. He didn't get – Watts didn't give two shits when it came to talking shit about Vince. And then when he says,
you got to be a dude, you think because he's, like, talking about maybe the Wendy Richter or Cyndi Lauper or something?
No, and here's why I say that. They had Misty Blue – on a worldwide episode a few weeks ago that I was watching, like mid-September. So they would have females on their show from time to time. They wouldn't, not on Saturday night from what I remember, but I know on the NWA worldwide episode, Misty Blue was on. So maybe not. I just think he was like, that was his way of saying, you got to be a real man. Like, nah, yeah. You know. But I agree with you, Harper. He puts over all the talent, not just himself right there. But at the same time, he puts himself over. But
I'm so over, I can come out and get myself over and everybody else. Right. How about that?
Right.
The company, everybody, you name it.
Which was damn good. So, okay. So that was Rick. From Rick, we go to Magnum. Here's Magnum.
And we are back on World Championship Wrestling, and here is Magnum GA.
You know, Tony Schiavone, there's something about Jimmy Garvin that I find increasingly annoying every day. It's not the fact that he's not a great wrestler or has not enough ability. It's the fact that he's talked about for so long what he's going to do to me. And each and every time I'm ready to have a confrontation with the one and only gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, he sends his lady down, Precious, to get in my face and yak and talk to me about what a man's going to do to me when he gets his hands on me. Well, I welcome the opportunity for Jimmy Garvin to get his hands on me. Believe me, I have never shirked any responsibilities or tried to get away from any competition. I'm just ready to get this thing over with because, you see, your little lady now knows that I'm not taking any more of her flat. So why don't you stand up and be a man and take care of business the way you should? Because I've got some other business out there and regain the United States heavyweight title. I'm ready to get back to that, too.
Okay, fans, let's go back to the ring.
All right, let me tell y'all something because I know y'all didn't see it. One, I think Magnum's really on it here. Two, Magnum's forehead is looking great. It's not a, there's no belt sander action going. Just so you know, because I don't think you all have seen this, on the Worldwide episodes, Magnum and Garvin are really, you know, in this big time feud. Like it's really things are winding up with that. Like it's coming to a crest, so to say. But yeah, this was I thought Magnum was good here, and you know he's got sights on two things. One of them being Garvin and putting, you know, that bullshit to bed, and then going back for his U.S. title. So there you go. You know, if you listen to that right there, we're still a little ways from Starrcade, but he's not talking about going for no world title right here. He's saying I'm going to go get that U.S. title back, and that's that. So there you have it. Harper, do you have anything from this?
Yeah, this was a nice little short little solid promo from him.
Yeah.
You know who he's pissed off about, and you know what he's going to do to him, and he still wants that fucking belt back.
Yep. Which, again, like I said, if you think about it, it really makes me think that the possibility was for him and Nikita again at Starrcade and not the world belt. But, you know, we'll talk about that later on. Doc, what'd you have?
This is nothing against the promo we just heard, nor is it anything against Magnum. It's really not anything against Jimmy Garvin, but it feels like Jimmy Garvin is beneath Magnum status at this point.
I would say so.
And so it's like, if you know, the story was always, this is right in prime, we're getting him ready for Rick. Are they? Why? How would I know? He's going backwards, not forwards.
I don't get that same feeling.
Well, you wouldn't, but Harper.
You got a feud with somebody, dude. You got to have a fresh feud. He just came off a fucking 20-match series with Nikita. So they did this shit with Magnum and Garvin and Precious, and where Magnum whoops Precious over his knee and beats her in the ass. slaps her in the ass. But my point is, Jesus, I'm just thinking about that, like. Somebody would get offended by that nowadays if they did it on TV, where he puts a woman over his knee and beats her in the butt. I just think they had to do something different. I mean, he can't – like, think about how long that shit was with Nikita. We talked about that for 5 fucking months.
Yeah, really, huh?
So, like, they switched directions on it, and I understand what you're saying, but, you know, he just lost the belt. Now he's about to go, you know, win this feud with Garvin if everything would have went, you know, well, and – then he moves back on to Nikita and maybe gets a little short run with the belt before then he gets the belt later on in the year, early next year from Rick. So I don't know if I agree with you, Doc.
You don't have to.
That's great. I never do.
Fuck you.
That's nice.
Anything else, Doc?
Not a damn thing. Fuck
okay. So we got Ron Garvin versus Gary Royal. Garvin wins. Gary Royal got off very easy here.
I know. Luckiest motherfucker ever.
Because it was like a minute long. He didn't.
Did you guys hear? Oh, God. I can't remember what podcast it was. I think it was Shivani. And basically, they were talking about there was a time period. And I can't even remember the time period. So I know the story's off great. But basically, jobbers would walk in and see their name next to the Steiners and be like, nom, and leave. And it made me think of coming in and seeing it against R. Garvin and being like, fuck. $20, huh?
I never heard that, but that's a funny story. Like,
some guys would be like, I'm going to get a broken bone for $40? No thanks, and leave.
Yeah, really.
I'll pass. See you next time. I'll catch you next time, guys. Yeah, really. Okay. I didn't see that, but I don't remember hearing that. But Doc, any thoughts on Gary Royal getting off easy?
Is that Gary Royal's first time?
I think so. I mean, he may have been there years ago, but I don't remember. So,
I think that's his first time.
Let me say this: it's his first time since we started doing these reviews.
You go, little buddy.
Yeah. Okay. So, Royal got off easy. Don't get me wrong; he still got some chin nuts. You know, he got the. I don't know, Harper. What angle would you say was he?
This guy was lucky. I mean, He really brother-in-law this fucking guy, you know?
Yeah, he got off easy. I mean, he got some chin nuts, but it wasn't too bad.
Right.
You know,
but it wasn't like bad. Like, fuck you. But, my right. balls are in your face. They were just kind of there.
They were just there, and the match was so short. Although he got the chin nuts, he didn't get the sweat with it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
There was no sweat dripping off his balls into him. So there you have it. But anyway, so right after that, we do have a Jimmy Garvin promo, and this is the promo that will close out this week's episode of Saturday Night. Here it is.
Magnum ZA here, a gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and Precious.
We heard from a very sick individual who I should call the authorities on. I should have the police department come and take that criminal to some jail where he belongs. Because the fact is, I don't know what your problem, Magnum TA, is. I don't know if it stemmed from your childhood, or I don't know what the reason is, but you laid your hands on the wrong woman this time, Pally. Nobody touches gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. Squeeze. I'm not going to let him get away with doing what he did to you. And like I said, did you get it from your daddy? Did your daddy beat your mommy or something? Or did your grandpa beat your grandma? You're a sick individual, Magnum. If you want me, or if you want a piece of me, it's me that you mess with, not my woman. You keep your stinking, filthy hands off of her, and you're gonna pay. Mark my word. Get this out of my way. Mark my word. I said I was gonna come here and beat up the chief, and I came here and I beat up the chief. I'm telling you, Magnum TA, you're gonna be mine. You're gonna pay for what you did, because you might think you're hot. You might think you're something. Dusty Rhodes might be filling you with a lot of garbage. Pally, I'm gonna drain your tanks.
Okay.
All right, so that was Jimmy Garvin there closing things out. Doc, your thoughts on it?
Drain your tanks. Don't know that I've ever heard that before.
That's a new one to me. Definitely okay. A new one. What else?
Well, he's getting a lot of lift out of this, getting to fight Magnum, so good for him.
It was a decent little feud, I think, but, yeah. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was.
That was a nice little promo.
I think him and Magnum, I'm telling you, man, it's when you watch the stuff they do on Worldwide, it's good stuff. I think it is, so I don't know. Harper, you got anything else?
That was a good promo by him. He's fucking pissed off that he fucking put his hands on his fucking woman. And he says, you know, I don't know what the fuck Dutchie's been telling you, but, you know, you ain't shit. It's basically what he's saying.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, all right, let's rate the episode first. Doc, you're salty. What are you rating this thing?
I guess I should have thought about this before we hit the record button. Blah, 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 blah. How about a B?
Oh, that's too high.
Yeah, Harper? You're right. B minus.
That's too high.
Harper, what are you giving it?
I'm going to give it a solid C just because it was only a half an hour long. But this was probably the worst one, man. I mean, they just called this in.
I got to give it a B. It's still better than anything I'm going to watch. Anything I will attempt to watch nowadays. It's short. You know, I know this is actually ridiculously short. There's obviously something cut from it at 32 minutes. But it just goes back to what I say about, you know, wrestling, you know, being an hour a week is the perfect sweet spot. Because, you know, last week I don't think we saw Rick. We got to see Rick here, and it's like, oh, breath of fresh air. You know, your talent isn't overexposed because people aren't seeing him every week. I like that. Now, I will tell you what I missed from this episode. If you remember about a month or two ago, we had a couple of times where we were not in the studio and we were out in the live arenas. And we saw some Rock and Roll versus Ole and Arn, and we saw a bunch of matches like that. And that is obviously missing from this. It's missing from every studio episode. My point is, like, that's why you can't really go any higher than a B, if you ask me. You just there's not a match here worth watching for the most part. Although
no.
Although what Doc said about the six man match when JJ was on commentary. And JJ started talking about belts not mattering or whatever he said, Doc. Like, that was funny. But match-wise, you're right. So I got to give it a B, which leaves us then to the Rolex. Cornette was good, but I got to give it to Rick. You know, Rick put over the promotion. So, Doc, who are you giving yours to?
Nationomics.
Yeah. Although I will say this, Magnum potentially could have gotten it, and Corny could have gotten it.
Corny got it last week with Elmer Fudd, didn't he?
I believe so.
That shit was funny.
That was a long time ago. That was 7 days ago, bro. My mind don't go back that far nowadays. Harper, who are you giving yours to?
You know what? I'm going to give mine to Jimmy Garvin. I mean, Flair and Cornette got a million goddamn watches.
They don't need no more.
No. I'm giving one to Jimmy Garvin.
You damn socialist.
Oh, God.
I got to spread the wealth.
Let's not get political here. Jesus, we've been steering clear of politics.
Income redistribution, motherfucker.
Yeah. There should be a base minimum. Everybody should get it, right? No matter how hard
you work. Right. Everybody. Pretty soon, everybody gets a watch, and then the incentive to work hard is gone, right?
You don't even believe that, the way you talk about the saps at work that make just as much as you that don't deserve it. So
they don't make as much as me, pal.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Irrelevant? We've had this discussion.
Let me tell you something, pal. That guy
we
gotta
do that work. That guy makes a full Doc's nickname, Mr. Irrelevant.
That guy makes a full 30 grand less than me, just off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
He makes Menace money.
He don't make Menace money. He makes a lot more than me. I guarantee you that. He makes more than me. But whatever. All right. So we rated this puppy, and that was a good thing. So I do want to remind everyone before we go to our promo of the week, please use our Amazon referral link. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Give it to the wives. Give it to the girlfriends. Give it to anybody in your family who shops on Amazon and use it. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. You can buy pretty much anything and everything from Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And they send us a few pennies along the way. Also, I want to talk about some t-shirts for a second. I'm waiting on Harper's t-shirt design. But there is... I've been waiting for a while. In my terrible artwork, created a Docaholic t-shirt that Doc doesn't like, but it is on the T Public store. So if you just check the show description in the show notes, however you're listening to this, you'll see a link to the T Public store. And in the T Public store, you'll find the Docaholic t-shirt. You'll find the Ron Wright t-shirts. You'll find the Corporate Wrestling Sucks t-shirts. There's a bunch of them on there. You'll find Be Blessed and Be a Blessing t-shirt. There's a bunch of them on there. So, again, that's the T Public store. So, if you want a Docaholic t-shirt, there is one out right now. Doc doesn't like the design. Again, I'm no graphic artist, but I did the best I could to come up with what I could come up with the tools that I have. And that's that. So, there you have it. But anyway, and also, check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. You can get there by going to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory and then click shop now, and it'll bring you to one of our t-shirts on the Pro Wrestling Tees BTT store. All right, I got a promo of the week for y'all, and I think I do. Doc, you got anything before I go to this?
Let me get a well up. Yeah, I got two things. What's one,
goddamn pal,
I want all of my Docaholics up here up in the Philadelphia area to know that I'm gonna laugh at you guys when you blow that number one seed this weekend and get no Super Bowl action, so just know that that's coming, and I'm laughing at you and not with you. And two, man, this is current wrestling, but I got to put over Chris Jericho for that match he had with Kenny Omega at the damn Wrestle Kingdom last week. I got the chance to see that shit, and Jericho's a stud for as physical and demanding a match that he did at the age of 47. Jeez.
Have you seen it, Harper?
I should watch it.
Well, let me say this. They fucked up because Omega's on his podcast today from what Doc told me.
Yeah.
I don't listen to it usually unless someone is on and I really want to hear from him. But I will say this. Chris Jericho, for 47 years old, to go out there and wrestle for 33, 34 minutes, I don't think the average person realizes the gas tank that it takes to do what he did at his age. And it ain't easy.
And he hasn't been in the ring lately.
And I like the match. I haven't seen all of Wrestle Kingdom yet.
I like the build-up that they showed, too, on the show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like them attacking each other at the press conference.
Yeah, they milked this great.
Yeah, it was good. It was some good stuff, man. Some damn good stuff. So I agree. really good stuff, and it was a good match. I haven't seen the rest of Wrestle Kingdom, so I can't comment on it. I stopped.
What are you on right now?
Well, I watched the Access version, and I stopped after the Jericho match.
Me too. I tried. I was going to watch Naito and Okada tonight because Naito is one of my favorite. Both of those guys are two of my.
Bruh,
those
every are my time two I favorite. Turn it on, I fall the fuck asleep. Like, because it's late at night and it's after you know, no kids and wife ain't
podcasting.
Bugging me. And I'm like, I've done after. I'm like, all right, let me wind down, and I put the shit on.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right here. Tetsuya Naito is the guy WWE should want. Screw Nakamura. Naito
I don't want
is
nobody
the man.
Going there, bro.
What?
I don't want nobody going to WWE. Like, and it's in fairness, I don't really watch the current product, so. But we were fucking googling and gagaing over Shinsuke Nakamura a couple years ago, and now.
Yeah, now look.
I don't even know what he's doing. Is he champ yet?
No, I don't know. He's not. But
is he,
like,
is he in a tag team with Jimmy Yang Wang?
No, but like I see stuff people.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, I see stuff people post on like Facebook and Twitter, and they're like not high on what's going on with him there. So I'm like,
he in a stable with Taka Michinoku and Sho Funaki.
So I don't know. And don't get me wrong, look, I'll probably watch a little bit since it's about to be WrestleMania season. On the Hulu version where I can get through that shit easy if I have time. Plus, football season's about to end at the end of January, early February. So my time opens up a little bit.
What's wrong with those Pellies, dude?
Jesus fucking Christ. Don't get me started on that shit.
You got the boogie. You got boogie in the brow, dude. The
bro, that is
team
a
in the
shit
world.
Show if I've ever
yeah,
seen
Yeah, I know,
one.
Huh?
They fucking.
Yeah, they got to get ready to coach, man.
It's a disgrace. Fuck
how many more?
That.
How many more games, Mike, would you guys have won this year if you had my coach?
They'd be the fucking number 3 seed, bro, and you think I'm crazy.
No. My coach would get that. First of all, my coach might sit Boogie down forever just because. But he would get that shit situated real fast.
Bruh, that fucking team beat the fucking Pelicans and had a 28-point lead a couple weeks ago on a team they had no business having a 3-point lead against.
My coach is so good. He's got us playing so good, he's screwing up our draft position in the
it's
lottery.
It's exactly what he's doing, bruh.
They just won right just now while we were talking. They just finished another win in Charlotte.
See?
So we're just... He's just bringing all these chumps together, and they're outperforming. Way to go, just, Carlisle.
Just fucking shit up, bro. Just fucking shit up. So, but let me keep going, man, so we can close out this show. So here's I might have two promos of the week. Here's one of them. This is Rick. This is from the October 4th, 1986 Worldwide. The reason I'm playing this is because, one, it's good, but... If you remember, we did the Ric Flair 30 for 30 special for our patrons. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTPatrons. If you go there, you'll get access to that episode. And we did that episode, and Rick talked about banging 10,000 rats, if you recall. We did the math on it. Pay attention to what Rick says right here on October the 4th, 1986. Prior to Baby Doll, how many rats he'd been through. Okay. Now, for some reason, whenever I'm playing this thing for my external drive, it freezes. If it stops for a second, don't worry, it'll pick back up. Here it is.
Boy, Ric Flair, earlier we.
God.
It's gonna pick back up.
Dude,
talk to a man who's hot on his trail, Captain Redneck Dick Murdoch.
Well, let me say one thing on behalf of Captain Redneck Dick Murdoch, in behalf of Dusty Rhodes. In behalf of Magnum TA, in behalf of Ronnie Garvin, in behalf of all the great wrestlers here, Warren McDaniels, the Rock and Roll Express, the Road Warriors, all the great challengers that make up the National Wrestling Alliance, please sit down and take a look at what's really causing all this. The world's heavyweight wrestling champion. Not to mention the fact, Dick Murdoch, that this little tie around this little neck probably costs more than all the clothes you got hidden in your closet. You are not even a cowboy boot wearing redneck. You are a Reebok wearing, jean wearing, t-shirt wearing, funny looking haircut, half nothing happening redneck. And as I said before,
it's coming,
if
don't
I
worry.
Ever see you, head up in that cowboy hat of yours or that funky baseball cap, I'm going to slap it off your head. I'm going to pull that pouch of tobacco out of your back pocket and shove it down your throat. And the same goes for the four horsemen. In other words, don't show up looking like a redneck in front of any of us, because we are the cream of professional wrestling. We are the Anderson Brothers. We are Tully Blanchard. Woo, we are Ric Flair. We are James J. Dillon and Dusty Rhodes. I heard you make mention of the doll. Let me tell you about the doll. She's like 2,864 other women in this world. She had to ride Space Mountain. She had, woo, to feel the thrill of being next to the Nature Boy. Now I am at the pinnacle, at the peak of my career, so I have sent her on her way, because I love to give the girl the world. Woo! I love to give the girl the thrill. You understand? I'm Ric Flair. I am one of the four horsemen. We are the predominant wrestlers in this great sport. And with only Arn, Rick, Tully, and JJ together, there are three words always said. Four words. What's causing? Woo! All of this. Woo!
There he is, fans. The world heavyweight.
Isn't that five words?
Yeah, but so he banged 2,864 before Baby Doll. Did y'all catch that line?
Specifics are great, because if he said 3,000, you'd be like, whatever. But when he put a number to it, you're like, wait, he's keeping count.
The only thing he could have done better there was made it an odd number and not an even one.
Well,
like 2,863.
That means he really did some super fucking after 1986.
Right.
I needed him to be above 5,000 at that point if he's going to get to 10.
Yeah. Which 2,864 is pretty fucking impressive.
It's okay.
I mean,
yeah, real. Fuck.
Harper, I mean, what are you at right now? 64?
I'm at like 2.
Oh, no. Last week it was 3. What happened?
One of them died.
One of them died. Jesus Christ. Oh, my fucking Lord. Okay. But anyway, Doc, where were we? I'm lost now. I'm lost. Shit.
Well, that was the promo of the week.
Okay. Do y'all want to hear from Tim Horner? The one Doc heard
Why
this
not?
One last week.
Why
yeah,
not?
We got a little time. Since the show was short, the Saturday night was short. Here it is. Hold on. Let me get it queued up for y'all. Now, Harper, don't laugh too hard. Here we go. It may freeze up when it first starts or right after. It's the program. It's not.
It's
not
you. Me.
No, you can fuck yourself. Here it is. Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, with me now, one of the great, young, exciting wrestlers in the NWA, right here on the #1 Worldwide Wrestling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Crock. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, everybody's talking about something in this world today, but the one thing everybody's talking about is Jim Crockett Promotions, and that's exactly why I'm here, because everybody that is anybody is right here in Jim Crockett Promotions. You know, some of the best wrestling talent in the world today is right here, and that's exactly what's brought me here, and I thrive on competition, and that's why, like I said, that's why I'm here. You know, a good friend of mine's coming in, Brad Armstrong. We were national tag team champions at one time, so hopefully we can get teamed up and go after these world tag team titles. And Flair's around, and always somebody looking for him. And I'd like to add my name to the list while I'm here right now. And I'm just excited to be here. Don't matter where we go,
right,
we're nationwide.
All right, what about Nikita Koloff, the United States heavyweight title?
Well, I tell you what, you know, it upsets me that a Russian's got the United States United States heavyweight title. But let me tell you something. I'd like a shot at him myself, because I'm a proud American, and I'm proud to be here. And anytime I can get a shot at him, I'd dang sure like to take it.
All right, one of the greats, Tim Horner.
Doc, you want to tell the people what you told me last week off air after it played, how he was stuttering and he was getting all confused?
I don't know. I don't remember, but that's okay. Now, if you take his stumbling and bumbling over just the easy stuff, now put him into an angle where he's supposed to be getting heat and, like, responding and firing up and stumbling and bumbling. And now, if you don't listen to our Smoky Mountain show, shame on you. And second of all, now you start to see why we get frustrated with this guy.
There's plenty of comedy, though, on the Smoky Mountain show. I mean, you know, people shouldn't be, you know, fooled by that. It's some good stuff. So, anyway. All right, Harper, did you enjoy Tim Horner right there?
That was not bad from him.
Well, and that's the thing.
Remember that time he tried to say Paul Orndorff?
Yeah.
And he couldn't get it out.
On Down and Dirty with Dutch.
Yeah, he tried. Like, he just kept fucking it up. Yeah, that was pretty damn bad at that point. Oh, man. So, all right, that was, look, you did two promos of the week right there. When are we going to do the world-class stuff?
Never.
I got to rewatch that shit.
Me too. It's been so long that I don't remember.
That's a damn shame. We're going to talk about
that. What happens? Does one of the Von Erichs die or something?
We're going to talk about that shortly. But, no, I want to thank everybody for listening. Hey, like we said, become a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Check out our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Hit the like button. And then follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper is at CJHWhoDat. I'm trying to think. I want to thank my friends at Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, the Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett, doing their things every single Monday now. One show a week. It's a bigger show, but one show a week. Check it out. They're doing a lot more classic stuff these days. I think you'll enjoy it if you like us. You'll like their banter. And lastly, I got to thank the Hall of Fame patrons at DNIEWLS, REMiller39, @Justin_Andretti, @JSiney21, @NaturalHacksaw, @ThinManWithin, Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, @ShipDaddy32, @USC49ersDodger, @GeraldGreen3rd, @THawk94, @SVPadgem, @MartinHowell71, @TimMoretti, ColeMan822, @GodBullDunreal, @UnconvincedRay. Hey, here's the thing. I did select the patron member of the quarter. So I'm going to be recording with them hopefully this weekend, and it should be on next week's show. The patron winner of the quarter was @NaturalHacksaw, who happens to be a Hall of Famer. So he will be on hopefully next week if we can get
grow a sack, pal.
Yeah,
that's nice, Doc. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here?
I just told the guy that's cutting a promo next week to grow a sack. What else do you want from me?
Okay. Harper, what you got? Wildcat coming up in February in Georgia, or what?
Did you ether anybody last week at Wildcat, dude?
No.
No, God. He needs me to call Luke. He's not going to do it on his own. He's got
to
grow some balls.
I didn't
you
got to
grab the brass ring, man.
Fuck, yes. Grab the brass ring, pal.
I didn't have to.
Oh, you didn't have to?
No, they got the job done, you know? They didn't need me to fucking interfere. They got this shit.
Okay.
So why do they need a manager?
Why do they need you if they got it?
Right. That's splitting the money three ways.
Because I got their careers.
Okay.
Alrighty. Do you wear a robe like Paul Hillering? In a rolled up newspaper?
Rolled up newspaper. No, but have you seen his new gimmick, Doc?
No.
He's got yellow canary pants. And he's got his high school Letterman jacket with no sleeves on it. It's the most absurd shit. It's
all you need. That outfit. It all you need is an oily, ether covered rag
you
in your back pocket.
Pulling the ether spray can of ether out of his pocket of that Letterman jacket.
And just kind of shaking it first so that you shake all the dust off so the ether sticks to the rag real good and just spraying it from a foot away.
Yeah, buddy.
Somebody's ass is going to sleep.
That's right. So there you have it, Harper, due to ether. Like I said, check out the show notes, everyone. The T-shirt stores are there, TeePublic, the Pro Wrestling Tee store. The patron link is all there. We could use your support on the show. Harper, if you ain't got nothing else, hit the tagline and take us home, pal.
Book it, bitch, man.
Welcome to World Class Championship Wrestling from the world famed Sportatorium here in downtown Dallas, Texas, the most famous wrestling arena in the world. We bring you World Class Championship Wrestling. I'm Bill Mercer, and great to have you with us wherever you may be throughout the world.